In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today, 21st Sunday after Trinity, we focus our attention. Our Lord teaches us today about the church militant, that we're a church that fights. We fight against the devil and all his demons. Today, our Lord will equip us with the whole armor of God. We'll hear that from in our epistle lesson and in our sermon for today. So what better way to start off Sunday on church militancy than with a prayer, a song of prayer. So children will sing for us now. This time we welcome our new members as they enter into our ranks. You may come forward. Really? I made a larger version. For you and for me. Beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, "Whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Lift up your hearts, therefore, to God, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Diana, Michael, and Bailey, do you this day, in the presence of God and of this congregation, acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism? Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit? Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God, and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true? Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully? Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death? Do you intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it? Do you desire to become a member of this congregation? Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you? Upon this, your confession, I acknowledge publicly that you are members of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for your great goodness in bringing these, your sons and daughters, to the knowledge of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and enabling them both with the heart to believe and with the mouth to confess his saving name. Grant that by your word and spirit, they may continue steadfast in the one true faith in the fellowship of this congregation, as together we await the day when all who have fought the good fight of faith shall receive the crown of righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Bailey, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Michael, peace be with you. The congregation responds, we welcome you in the name of the Lord.
Very good.
You may be seated. Congregation, please stand. We will continue with the introit printed for you on your bulletin. The whole world is in your power, O Lord King Almighty, no one can gainsay you. For you have made heaven and earth, you are Lord of all. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Confirm to your servant your promise, that you may be feared. Turn away the reproach that I dread, for your just decrees are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. In your righteousness give me life. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The whole world is in your power, O Lord King Almighty. No one can gainsay you. For you have made heaven and earth, you are Lord of all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world and for our salvation. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Lord God, Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory, for Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, Lord. on us. You're seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer, for you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, keep your household, the church, in continual godliness, that through your protection she may be free from all adversities and devoutly given to serve you in good works. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
May be seated for our readings. The Old Testament reading for the 21st Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapters 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And God said, "Light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse, and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water swarm with swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the heavens." So God created the great sea creatures and every living creature that moves, with which the waters swarm, according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock and creeping things and beasts of the earth, according to their kinds. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and the livestock according to their kinds, and everything that creeps on the ground according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every kind of bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our verse for this week: "By his wounds you have been healed." 1 Peter 2:24. The epistle is from Ephesians chapter 6, the text for our sermon. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you all see signs and wonders, you all will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. As he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was now the second sign that Jesus did when he had come from Judea to Galilee. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Now, normally we would be seated for this hymn, but it is stand up for Jesus. I just find that it's impossible to sit for this song. So stand firm as the epistle writer wrote. The church in heaven is the church triumphant. She rests victoriously over sin and death and the devil. The church on earth is the church militant. She fights. She is at war. Every single Christian fights. In today's epistle lesson, the Apostle Paul teaches you how to fight the spiritual battle to which you are called. When you were baptized and became a member of this congregation, as you three did today, you were asked Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways? You said, I do. You joined a holy war. But our war is not like the wars of this earth. We battle not against flesh and blood, but against the devil and his demons who have invaded every home and field and country and every walk of life. Jesus calls the devil the father of lies. The devil is a con man of the highest degree. He wants to enslave us and use us for his evil purposes. And how does he do it? He cons us. He uses false teaching. St. Paul speaks of the doctrine of demons. Yes, the greatest power the devil has is the power of deception. It was by means of deception and lies that he led our grandparents away from the divine truth in Eden. His tactics haven't changed over 6,000 years. Through manipulative lying, the devil and his demons control the minds and affections and thus the actions of their victims. So be on guard. We are at war. At war with the devil and his demons until the end of the world, or until our Lord calls us home. But thanks be to God that in this war, we do not fight by our own strength. St. Paul writes, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The strength, the power, and the might, these belong to our Lord Jesus. What is ours through faith. Whoever then believes and is baptized receives from Christ alone the strength to fight. Jesus equips us with his armor. It's well tested. And he arms us with his sword. It proves true. And he teaches us to fight. So put on the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. And take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The first thing a Roman soldier was to put on was his belt. And it's not like the belt that holds up your pants or suspenders. This belt had about five straps that came down from it with riveted metal to protect the soldier's loins. It's the foundational armor. Ours is the belt of truth. Before we go off into battle, we first gird ourselves with the belt of truth, divine truth. Not my own personal truth, God's truth. Our foundational protection is this belt. Protection against the devil and all his tricks. God's truth is a mighty fortress. In God, there is no falsehood. In the Holy Scriptures, there is no error. God has proven himself to be faithful and true. If you're in Bible study this morning, we studied Isaiah's prophecy of the suffering servant. 750 years before Christ was on the earth, Isaiah wrote everything that we know about the crucifixion and Christ's last days. Fulfilled. God has proven himself to be faithful and true. He's fulfilled that word of Isaiah. Though every man is a liar, and we are, and a lot of us like to say, or not us, but people in the world like to say, I have my truth, you have your truth, let's just get along, right? That's all lies. Though every man is a liar, God is true. He does not lie. And so we belt on his truth, that we may be justified by his words and prevail on that last day when we are judged. Next, the breastplate of righteousness. The strategy of the devil and his demons is to ensnare their victims in their own sin and use that sin against them. The devil strikes for our hearts, where the lifeblood of the body flows. The devil manipulates our guilt quite cleverly. He begins by tempting and conning us into transgressing against God. Which sins are these? Sins against the Ten Commandments. Once conned, the devil, who was so seductive at first, quickly changes his tune. Once he points to what he conned us into doing, and he says, "Look, you've sinned. This is the truth, your truth. You are not righteous. You're a sinner. So you better start acting like one. Give up God stuff and just do what pleases you." There is only one defense against such an attack. It is the breastplate of righteousness. This breastplate protects our hearts. The devil cannot penetrate God's righteousness. He can penetrate our own righteousness because we aren't righteous, but he cannot penetrate God's righteousness because God's righteousness is perfect. In Christ Jesus, the devil can find no fault. He cannot penetrate this. So we cover our hearts with the righteousness of Christ. When the devil accuses us and claims that our sins have delivered us back over to his kingdom, to his side of the fight, behold, he finds our hearts protected by that breastplate of righteousness, Christ's righteousness. He cannot break through. I am Christian. Next, the shoes of the soldier. The shoes of the soldier are described next in our text with the words, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." The gospel of peace is the good news from God that sets us at peace with God. This peace was announced at Christ's birth when the angel said, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." And it is bestowed on us by Jesus as he says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Your heart be troubled not, nor be afraid." He speaks. He says, "Let there be light," and there is light. He says, "Be not troubled," and you are not. Thanks be to God. And he bestows upon his peace upon us in this way as well. On this day of his resurrection, when he appeared to his fearful disciples in a locked upper room, he said to them, "Peace unto you." The gospel of peace enables us to fight the right enemy. Instead of railing against the good and righteous God, of whom we were enemies, we now do battle against the devil and his angels. When we are at peace with God, we are secure in our relationship with him. We can move here and there, anywhere, without losing the confidence that he is with us in our battles. When he sees us, he's pleased with us because we are in Christ. We are at peace with God. In this way, we can fight. Next, the shield of faith. The shield of faith not only stops the fiery darts the devil fires at us, it extinguishes them. Faith is not self-confidence. It is confidence in God's word. When God's word tells us that Christ's death and resurrection have defeated the devil, bound him in chains, crushed his head, silenced his tongue, and delivered us from his power, faith grasps these promises of God's word and holds them up as a shield against the devil's lies. Faith is a shield because it holds God's word in its hand. No other defense is necessary. No other defense is effective. Faith in Christ's victory on the cross keeps the constant volley of the devil's lies and his accusations and attempted deceptions from cutting into us and burning us. They meet the cross, the shield of faith, and they are extinguished. The last armament of our defense we have been given is the helmet of salvation. When you're struck with a blow on your head, whack, you become disoriented and unable to stand. Your feet may be fine, your heart well protected, and all the armor firmly in place. But when your head is damaged, you fall prey to the attacker. The helmet of salvation is our assurance that we are saved. Salvation is not an elusive goal, ever out of reach, so that we, like Sisyphus, must keep rolling the heavy boulder all the way to the top of the hill, only to see it roll back down the hill every time we roll it up. It's not an elusive goal. Salvation is achieved. Salvation is accomplished, as St. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one may boast." Listen to these words. "For by grace you are saved through faith." It doesn't say, "For by grace you were saved, but maybe not anymore." And it doesn't say, "For by grace you will be saved, maybe, but not right now." It says, "For by grace you are saved." It refers to an event in the past that affects the present. You were saved, you are saved, you will be saved. Jesus is your Savior, and He has rescued you from the power of darkness, and He has delivered you into the light of God's truth, and has secured for you victory over all evil, and has guaranteed you eternal joys in heaven, and all of this belongs to you now, right now. This is your helmet. The certainty of salvation keeps our head clear when fighting against the father of lies. Finally, after being fully equipped in the armor of God, He then bestows on us our one and only weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. If we want to drive the devil away and defeat him, we must fight offensively as well, with the Word of God. But what is this Word of God? Is it the written Word, the Bible? Or is it Jesus, that Word of God incarnate in human flesh and blood, who comes to us in preaching, in holy baptism, in the supper? What is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit that we wield? Is it the Bible, or is it Jesus? What do you think? That's a trick question. The devil would like to separate those things, as he does in many denominations in Christendom. But you know the answer. Is it the Word of God or Jesus? The answer is yes. The written Word is the Word of God incarnate. The Bible is useless without Jesus, and you cannot have the real Jesus without the Bible. The written Word and the Word of God incarnate are one. They belong inseparably together. My friends, this is why we read the Bible. This is why we go to church. This is why we attend Bible class. We want the real Jesus, not one of our imaginations. We want the real one from the Bible. This is why we listen to preaching and receive the Lord's Supper often, because that's Jesus. We cannot do battle against the father of lies unless we are thoroughly grounded in the Word of God in all His fullness. My friends, we are at war. The devil's lies must be refuted. Otherwise, they settle in and take on the sanctity of truth. How many soul-destroying deceptions float around in the religious air we breathe? We take them in without even thinking. We need to do battle. And in order to do this well, we need the Word of God. If you think you have more important things to do with your time than to attend church, Bible class, and read your Bible on your own, who do you think has put this notion into your head? I'll go to church when it rains. Who's put that evil, deceptive thought into your minds? You know the answer. He is a real person, and he's a real liar who wants to keep you from God's gifts. Don't give in to him. Theological ignorance is spiritual suicide. Cut yourself off from the water of life, and you will be thirsty. Brother and sister, you are at war. Immerse yourself in the Word of God. Seek out instruction in it. Arm yourself with it and fight. Fight as your Lord Jesus fought, responding to every demonic lie, false promise, and false teaching with the words, "It is written." Or you can say, "Jesus says." Devil wants to tempt you. You're not forgiven. You're an unrighteous sinner. What do you say? Jesus says, you are forgiven. Right? He says, peace be with you. He says, my life I have given to you. Be strong. Stand firm. Jesus says. Brethren, Jesus and the Bible and the ministry of his apostles and prophets and pastors, this is the word that equips us with good armor and is that sword of the Spirit that drives the devil away from us straight back to hell where he belongs. Amen. Amen. We stand to confess the faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. I just want to point out again those resources that I have for you. There's music, Lutheran Public Radio, but the CDs, I've set those up. I've moved our bookshelf in the Bible study room to a more accessible location, not hidden behind other things. So please check those out. Some already have done so. A wonderful resource to you to equip your ears and your hearts with that armor of God, that word of his. See there next week, we'll have Reformation service here as normal. But there will also be a circuit-wide Reformation service at Storm Lake, at Grace there at the church. We'll be joined there with our brothers and sisters Spanish language. They'll be singing a couple hymns for us in their own native tongue, and I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a great thing, a great reminder that we are not alone in our confession in the world. With that, we continue with the prayers of the church. Let us pray. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, King Almighty, the whole world is in your power. We thank you for the many blessings of creation which you sustain despite every ravage of sin, death, and the devil. Help us to receive your benefits with gratitude, knowing they come through Jesus' merits and not our own. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Defend your church against the schemes of the devil. Equip your church, and especially all pastors, with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, that your creation may be recalled from futility back to its Creator. Outfit your saints with the full armor of God, with salvation, faith, peace, righteousness, truth, and every benefit that comes from Christ Jesus, that we may be able to stand firm to the end. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you have created us male and female and commanded us to be fruitful, exercising wise dominion over this world. Bless all Christian households. Preserve your holy estate of marriage. Do not let life or children be despised among us, but honored and protected, especially the unborn children of Holly, Anjali, and Hannah. As you have created us in your image, so lead us to live godly lives in accord with your design, for it is good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O Lord, you have said by your apostle that we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Lead us to respect godly authorities, to oppose what stands against your word, and to see every unbelieving person as your creature for whom Christ has died. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, do not despise our prayers because of our weak faith. Grant life and healing to those who are troubled, ill, or at the point of death, especially Carrie, Mike, Chad, John, Anna, Glenn, Heather, and Frank, for Lorraine, Larry, Janice, and Daryl, and Jeff Bunges. Free us from all adversities to serve you devoutly in all good works. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
O God, you rested on the Sabbath and established it for your ancient people as a commemoration of your creative work. Do not let us forget that it is you, Lord, who sanctifies us. Give us rest in your gifts, especially the sanctifying body and blood of Christ in his blessed sacrament. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We begin. Continue with the offertory.
Shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord. My vows to the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, Jerusalem. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave,
and by his glorious resurrection, open to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us.
Take it. body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the one true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Stand and sing, thank the Lord.
Thank the Lord and sing his praise. Tell everyone what he has done. Let all who sing the Lord rejoice and proudly bear his name. He recalls his promises. Shouts of thanksgiving, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
May be seated for our final hymn, 662. Onward, Christian soldiers.
Onward, Christian soldiers. Lord,